This episode of Enough, the Minimal Mac podcast, is sponsored by Seamless from 5Details. Imagine this. You're listening to a podcast on your Mac, something comes up and you've got to leave. You want to keep listening, but to do so you'd have to pause iTunes, find the podcast on your iPhone, and muck around with the playback position to get back to the same spot. And that sucks. It's a ton of work and it's a very abrupt interruption. But the folks over at 5Details have just obliterated this problem. They built this app called Seamless that in a single tap fades out your podcast, song, audiobook on your Mac, and into your iPhone, or from your iPhone to your Mac. The play position is preserved so you never drop a beat, and if you're playing from within a playlist or album, that's even preserved too. So that's seamless. Crossfades between your iPhone and your Mac with a single tap, and then you're free to take your audio wherever you go. It's legitimately seamless. You can grab Seamless or watch a demo at seamlessapp.com.
Hello, Mike.
Hello, sir.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm actually doing really, really great. Because I was thinking about... So my daughter attends circus class. She goes to a circus school, a European-style circus school, where they do, gosh, all sorts of crazy things. But imagine Cirque du Soleil. But they're training 3-year-olds how to do this stuff, right? And above. It goes actually from age 2 to, you know, to early adult, you know, 21, 22. Everyone in between. But the other day, I was watching her on a couple of balancing apparatus. First of all, the wire. Walking on a wire, that was 3 feet off the ground. And getting assistance, but, you know, the idea is, you know, kind of getting used to practicing that balance so that they can do it on their own, sometime soon. And also on the blocks, which are, you know, the 2 wooden blocks that are suspended on, not suspended, but they're on kind of pipes on poles up above the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was kind of balancing on there with one leg and, you know, up and whole 9 yards. And that's when the idea of enough finally hit me. From a practical sense, what is enough and how does one get there? Because I'm pretty convinced that a successful life is largely driven by balance and moderation.
Right.
So, you know, not too much of anything. And not too little either, right? You don't want too much fat, but we actually need to eat a certain amount of the right fats, right? to survive, to have a healthy body. You don't want to drink too much, but a little bit of alcohol, a little bit of wine, a little bit of beer has been shown to be good for you. That there's a balance and moderation there. But how do you find out what that is? Because just like everyone has a different center of gravity, everyone has a different benchmark for what is enough for them with any particular thing they approach with that philosophy. And watching my daughter balance made me realize what that was and how people get there. And just like with a center of gravity, you find it by teetering back and forth, until you find that right spot where you can balance perfectly, where you can walk across that wire, knowing exactly where your center of gravity is. That to reach the goal of enough with the things that we approach, one must do the same.
I think this is a common misconception that I think a lot of people have about maybe what you write or minimalism as a whole, and maybe especially the show, is that enough does not mean small. It can enough for you could be 600 apps on your phone, but that could be how many you need to get whatever it is you need to get done.
Right.
Yeah. Although I mean that it probably is maybe too many, but you know it's about having, as you say, the balance, the idea of this isn't making things difficult for me, but this is not also giving me too much choice.
Correct. And I think I think the point that I want to get to is, okay, fair enough, we've accepted that as the definition. How do you get there? How do you find out what that is? Because I can't tell you what that is. That answer is going to be different for every person. And the only way to find out what that is to know what it isn't.
Right. Okay.
And that the only way to know what it isn't is to try things on and try things out and ask some questions and challenging your preconceptions and challenging the what society is telling you you need and what, you know, your, you know, people think that you need, you know, other people think that you need. When my, you know, we're about to take a trip, my wife and I and my daughter, a long road trip. And, you know, she was going through this, you know, writing down this list of all the things she needed to make sure to pack and this all long list. And I'm just looking at this and I'm thinking, you're crazy. Right. Yeah, but we're going to be gone for 10 days and we're not going to have a washing machine and you know, who knows what's going to be. I'm like, well, here's my list and it's about, it's a fraction of what's on yours. And I'm kind of thinking, hey, I can wash my clothes in a sink somewhere. It's not a big deal. But you know what that was? That was judgment. That was me judging her and saying, oh, well, my way's better, you know? No, my way is my way. My way works for me. My way is what is enough for me. It is the level of convenience and security and comfort, exactly the level of security, convenience, and comfort that I'm willing to live with. And she can't live with that same thing and be comfortable. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, I do.
And that's okay. That she already has in her mind what is enough for her, right? That she has done the hard work by, you know, by packing too much and also by taking too little to find out exactly what she needs. So she can sit down and she can write out that list in 10 minutes, and that list may be 10 times longer than my list, but she knows exactly what she needs. That's enough for her. And I don't need to judge that. It's wrong of me to do so, right? And I've discovered what is enough for me by continuing to ask that question. I do it every single time I pack for a trip. You know, despite the fact that I think I've got a pretty good system down, you know, and I've discussed it on a previous episode. You know, I can pretty much, you know, pack for any trip, for any length of time in less than a few minutes. Yeah. I know exactly what I'm going to take. But guess what? I still question everything that goes in there.
But shouldn't right? you always?
Yes. Yeah.
Because when you originally made the video of you traveling light, and we spoke about it in an episode, and I will find the episode in a moment, the iPad didn't exist.
Nope.
You didn't have an 11-inch MacBook Air.
Nope, sure didn't.
So your bag now would look very, very different to how it did previously.
Yeah, completely different. But what's great about it is that I can take both for the same amount of pounds as I took the one MacBook.
Yeah.
And I plan on doing so, actually,
for a number of reasons. It was all the way back in episode 6.
So wow, yeah.
I spoke about traveling light.
Yeah. That was a good episode, too.
It was. And that's a good video. You should redo that.
I should. I really should. I'll maybe. I won't have time to do it before I go. I'll maybe do it when I get back. But yeah, because a lot of several things there have changed, and also, being in the summer and being, these things also kind of change with conditions as well. For instance, what I'm packing for this trip is a little bit different than what I would normally pack for, say, a flight to somewhere, because it is a road trip. I am allowed to get away with taking a little bit more, but even more so, we're going to be in two very different conditions. One at a lake house of some friends of ours. So, cabin style at the beach, getting dirty, campfire sort of thing. So I'm going to need some shorts that can get banged up and dirty, right? versus, just a couple of pairs of travel pants. So, yeah, I should redo that. But, to get back to the point, I not only question, I think this is really important for people to understand. I not only question what it is I'm packing, questioning is it right for the activity and what I'm going to be doing, but I also question, is this enough? I also take the time to think through the what ifs, right? Because there are what ifs. The difference is that I don't let the what ifs drive me, right? I don't let the what ifs stand on their own. The what if it rains? What if I need to do this or have this or get? I don't let those what ifs make the final decision. Or more importantly, how do I put this? I guess the best way I can put it is an example. The what if it rains? Well, it's a road trip. I can buy an umbrella just about any exit I get off of.
Hmm.
Right? Just about any gas station I walk into is probably going to have an umbrella for sale. just about every Target, Walmart, stick your major big box retailer in here is going to have, I can easily get these things and buy these things. So do I actually need to take one? I don't know. Would that help me in the event of, okay, the car breaks down and it's raining? Well, okay, now I might want to actually pack an umbrella, right? Whereas before, if I was, say, flying to a different city, I would easily say, well, no, I don't have to worry about that. If the plane breaks down, I'm not going to be stuck out in the rain. I'm either going to be dead on the ground somewhere or stuck on a tarmac, it's going to be, I'm not going to need the umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
I can always buy one when I get there, straight off the plane. So I guess that's a good example of the kind of thought process that I go through every time. Every single time. Because only by asking those questions and kind of swaying back and forth between, only by taking the umbrella and finding out that I didn't really need to, or forgetting the umbrella and standing out in the rain, wet and cold, will I really know when I need to think about taking the umbrella and when I need to not think about taking the umbrella, right?
Yeah, the situation that you're involved in changes your priority.
Yeah. Yeah. And so even enough is not this hard line thing that is free from examination. That nothing is free from examination. And that we're always trying to find that center of balance. That even the most expert wire walkers in the world, the guy who walks in between, Kuala Lumpur towers or whatever, you know, or the Flying Willindas, the famous wire-walking troupe that spans nine generations now. What are they doing? They've got this long pole, and they're always searching for that center of balance. They're always searching for what that enough is for them. Because it's changing. It's changing with the conditions. It's changing with the wind. It's changing with the, you know, with the wire and the tension in the wire. It's changing with the distraction of the crowd. It's changing with the sway of the buildings. You get what I'm saying?
I completely do, yeah.
And so even though they may be the most attuned people, they may know exactly what their center of balance is, the problem is that the world is changing underneath them. And so therefore, they must constantly search for it.
I love it. I think I'm very lucky to get to do this with you, because I think you're a genius.
Oh, jeez.
It's a very intelligent thought. And I like that you kind of knew it before you thought of that, because you've always, you know, we've always been talking about what enough is, and it's nice that we kind of have this definition, I guess.
Yeah, well, I guess my thing is that I've always kind of known what the concept is. I don't think I've ever been able to articulate what it means, how to get there, and what getting there is, right? Mm-hmm. That getting there is not a destination, it is a continuing journey. That it is fluid. And I think it's very easy, and I've stated this so many times now, but it's very easy for someone to come to this podcast or to my website or somewhere looking for the answer. And the fact is that finding the answer only leaves you with more questions.
Yeah. They should come along on the journey with us.
Yeah. And that's all that we, that's all I ever do is ask questions. Be curious. Because how do you expect to find the answers if you don't ask the questions? And once you get the answer, how do you expect to not have any more questions? I mean, there always will be another question, a second right answer, another way of doing or looking at something.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, I guess that's the revelation to me, is that, oh, now I finally have a way to tell people, okay, it's like balance. And that's what this is all about. And that less is not more. Any more than more is less. More or less. So, yeah, there you go. But, you know, I really appreciate your saying that and your compliment. I certainly don't feel that way. I'm seeking. I have an insatiable hunger to find that answer too.
Yeah.
I guess maybe I'm just never satisfied with it. I'm never satisfied with, quote unquote, the answer. There's always another question. And, you know, if that's what makes me, you know, a genius, well, I guess I'll take that title begrudgingly. But I'm certainly not. I'm just a guy sitting here confused and scared and lost in this great big world trying to figure out how to be the most comfortable in it, just like everyone else. So, before we wrap this up and go, you got so many new projects going on. I don't know which one to talk about, but I feel like our listeners should at least be aware of some of the other things that you're doing, because, you know, gosh, it's just insane.
Yeah, I'm busy. I'm pretty busy at the moment. But all the way back in episode 5, we lifted the lid a bit as to how we were making the podcast, and from that it spawned off a blog that I started called The Podcasting Project.
Yes.
And as is usual with me with any sort of blog, I will write a load and then we'll stop. And this is because where I enjoy writing, I have trouble with it because I constantly go back and revise it and edit it, and it takes me days and hours to write something, which I know would take somebody else not so long. Someone with your amazing skills, for example. But it's the subject, as in looking behind the scenes at what it takes to put together podcasts, is I really enjoy talking about it because it's what I love. So what I have decided to do after being influenced by Sean Blanc with Sean Today and Ian Broom with Chat Broom was to create a one-man show that is called The Hurley Bird.
I love the name.
Ian came up with the name as well in a conversation. It was actually him coming up with the name that made me do the show.
Oh, interesting.
Because I was helping him troubleshoot when he was trying to get Chat Broom, which again is another fantastic name, off the ground. And I just was commenting on how great I thought the name was. And yeah, it's like Broom Shtick and stuff like that. He comes up with good names. And then he just spawned it out. Just said, The Hurley Bird. And his idea was there could be a slogan eventually, which would be like, hey, did you catch the Hurley Bird this morning?
Oh, that sort of stuff.
And then somebody else could be like, no, but maybe they got the worm, you know, that sort of, you know, you can just go. And so I decided that I needed to use that name for something, and this would be what it is. So The Hurley Bird is a show that there's no definition to it. I have no idea how often it will be posted. There is no set to how long the episodes are or what format they'll come in. There will be some video, there will be some screencasts as well, as I want to try and give a broad picture as to what goes into creating the stuff that I do. And you can find it at thehurleybird.com, but that will be the landing page. But all of the shows will be posted onto the podcastingproject.com. That will be taking over. The Hurley Bird is taking over that website. So if you want to take a look more, then please go and listen. I think it's quite good. I'm pretty pleased with the way it's coming out at the moment. Also as well, hopefully by the time this show goes out, it may not be, and I may be shooting myself in the foot here, but I'm going to go for it anyway. Me and Josh at MacGasm are starting a show focused entirely on apps. And you will be able to find that at apporchidpodcast.com. So apporchard podcast.com, as in like the app Orchard, which is quite cool. Josh come up with a name for that. I can't take credit for any of these names. Yeah, hopefully the first episode should be out, and we're currently trying to get it all submitted on iTunes and stuff, so that should hopefully be out by the time that this episode reaches to you. So please go check them things out, because that's the stuff I'm working on at the moment.
Yeah, really, really great. And yeah, I don't have any new projects except for the one that I'm kind of trudging away on, which is my next book. We'll see how that goes.
Can't wait for it.
I keep writing it. So, and I should mention, because people have asked about this, and I think I've mentioned this before, but I don't think I've mentioned it on the podcast. No, actually, I did. I did mention it on the podcast that I'm writing it entirely so far on the iPad, using the on-screen keyboard and using plain text from Hogbay Software. I'm still not breaking that trend. And using the iPhone 4 at times, usually during my daughter's circus school, while she's in class, balancing and swinging from trapezes and silks and bouncing on trampolines and doing all sorts of fun stuff, I can usually be seen on my iPhone 4 in plain text editing. Using the on-screen keyboard.
Yeah, such an awesome way to write a book.
It really is. It really feels like the future.
It's great.
I think that's enough plugging for now.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, thank everyone for joining us once again. And please, if you're enjoying this stuff, tell your friends and neighbors and Twitter followers and everybody else. If you have feedback for Mike or I, Twitter is an excellent place to do so. I'm at Patrick Rhone. That's PATRICKRHONE, like the river in France. And Mike, you are?
I'm Mike. IMYKE.
Y as in yes.
Yes.
Yes for Michael. All right. Thanks a lot, everyone, and we'll talk later. Cheers.
Cheers.